Great leaders see the future, but they also see what they have to give up to get there. And Lyndon Johnson exemplifies this. Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture those aha moments from reading and apply them to your life and leadership. When Ronald Reagan served as our 40th president, he had a sign on his desk that delivered a daily reminder every leader should follow. And that little sign read, "There's no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't care who gets the credit." Now, pardon the gender-exclusive language, but I think you get the point. Reagan, like all great leaders, recognized that there's something bigger at play than his own reputation or legacy. It's getting the job done. And Lyndon Baines Johnson, he understood this as well. Now, as Doris Kearns Goodwin notes in her book, Leadership in Turbulent Times, Johnson's handling of the Vietnam War, I mean, in many ways, it forever stained his reputation. But as she points out, the passing years have made clear that his leadership in civil rights, as well as his domestic vision in the great society, that is going to stand the test of time. Johnson's an enigma. I mean, he's a leadership puzzle that's hard to put together. He was both strong and weak. He was visionary and sometimes incredibly myopic. He was self-serving, but also self-sacrificing. He was intimidating. He was empowering. But he was a leader. Johnson took the presidential reins after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And reflecting on that time, Johnson said, "We were all spinning round and round, trying to come to grips with what had happened. But the more we tried to understand it, the more confused we got. We were like a bunch of cattle caught in the swamp, unable to move in either direction, simply circling round and round." And then Johnson said this, "I knew what had to be done. There is but one way to get the cattle out of the swamp, and that is for the man on the horse to take the lead, to assume command, to provide direction. In the period of confusion after the assassination, I was that man." And he was the man. Johnson galvanized JFK's stunned and saddened cabinet, and using his legislative genius, he pushed through what JFK could not. And Johnson was a larger-than-life man, but he was also a man who understood the importance of making himself smaller, of stepping out of the way for the sake of what needed to get done. And despite all his bravado, despite being the man on the horse, despite wanting civil rights to be his legacy, he was humble enough to recognize the importance of giving other people credit. This was so evident, especially when it came to securing help for stopping the Southern senators' filibuster. You see, every time the Democrats tried to pass civil rights legislation, Southern senators, determined to keep Jim Crow alive and well, would filibuster, and the bill could never get to the floor. Well, Johnson knew that the key to ending the filibuster was getting Republican support, particularly that of Illinois Senator Everett Dirksen. Listen as Doris Kearns Goodwin relates this incident in the life of Lyndon Johnson and the passage of that historic civil rights bill.
"The bill can't pass unless you get Ev Dirksen," Johnson instructed Humphrey. "You and I are going to get Ev. It's going to take time, but we're going to get him. You make up your mind now that you got to spend time with Ev Dirksen. You got to let him have a piece of the action. He's got to look good all the time. Don't let those bomb throwers talk you out of seeing Dirksen. You get in there to see Dirksen. You drink with Dirksen. You talk with Dirksen. You listen to Dirksen." Johnson told Humphrey that civil rights leaders who might be chary of working with the conservative Dirksen must understand that unless we have the Republicans joining us, unless we make this an American bill and not just a Democratic bill, there will be mutiny in this goddamn country. Bipartisan unity was essential to placate the turbulence that would likely follow if the bill passed. To NAACP leader Roy Wilkins, Johnson made a similar plea. "I think you're all going to have to sit down and persuade Dirksen this is in the interest of the Republican Party. And I think that he must know that if he helps you, then you're going to help him. This issue at hand transcended party politics. If letting Dirksen take center stage, even to the point of eclipsing both his own role and that of his Democratic colleagues, was essential to achieve effective harmony between the unfolding events in the political arena and in the volatile cities across the country, Johnson was more than ready to oblige.
You get in there and see Dirksen. You've got to let him have a piece of the action. As I hear him say that, I stand back and I object and said, there's nothing laudatory here. Johnson was simply using Dirksen's ego to accomplish his own ends. Well, was he? Maybe. But how many leaders, knowing their adversary is digging in his or her heels, do just the same? I mean, they hunker down and go toe-to-toe. Not Johnson. There's no limit to what a person can do and where he can go if he doesn't care who gets the credit. And for Johnson, that meant sharing the credit for the greatest civil rights bill in 100 years. Am I as quick to give away the credit? Are you? I love the words of Proverbs 18:12. Before his downfall, a person's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. And my aha moment, compliments of Reagan and Johnson and Solomon, is keep looking for opportunities to share the credit, or give it away altogether. In the end, great leaders know it's not about them. It's about what God is accomplishing through them. And that's my thought. With Doris Kearns Goodwin and Leadership in Turbulent Times. But before I sign off, let me ask you, what will you do with that thought today on your walk through life?